good evening and welcome to another episode of the Evening Hamnet with comedian Jamie Jackson. I have a cold, that's why I sound like this. Get off of my back. So I've been watching TikTok, and because I'm 45 years old and that's a good use of my time. There's been a lot about forgiveness, and there's this whole thing about forgiveness. Look, I'm going to get heavy in this podcast, right? Because I'm not I'm not doing comedy. My first gig back is the 31st of January, and so I may as well use this podcast to air some dirty fucking laundry. But I've watching a video specifically about a guy who whose wife admitted she'd been having an affair, and she was pregnant with his the person she was having an affair with, his child, and obviously their marriage broke up, and he was talking about it. And whether I like it or not, I've been divorced, and it did give me some, it brought up the feelings of my divorce and forgiveness and all of that. And I'm still angry at my ex-wife. I'm going to be honest with you, right? I knew I shouldn't have been married to her, but I'm still angry about what happened, because she left me quite abruptly. And I understand now she did me a favour. I didn't want to be with her. She didn't want to be with me. We weren't the perfect match. It wasn't right. And I realised this not long after we split up. But in that chaos of her leaving, it was horrendous. And when you divorce somebody, you lose a lot of things. Or when they divorce you, that you lose everything. Because you don't just lose that person. You lose the closest person in your life that you would tell everything to. You lose their family and all of the social connections you have with them. I mean, I was together with her for 7 years, so you lose all of that. You lose the lifestyle that you had, the lifestyle of being married and being a couple and what you do. You lose all of that. You lose your accommodation. The flat we were in for 6 years, we had to get rid of it. You lose everything in a moment. So when someone leaves, she left me a letter and then she left. That you don't, it's not just, oh, this is one thing. It's everything. There's a huge upheaval. And I don't think either of us behaved very well in that marriage. Definitely not. But I do have the only anger I have is when someone walks out like that, they absolutely, it's like a fucking atom bomb. They obliterate your life as you know it. And I remember I hated my job working in this investment bank, absolutely loathed it. But weirdly, that job became the only stability in my life. And suddenly I actually enjoyed the job, which was weird. So that's a bit of perspective on that. But I had to clean out that flat. So we'd lived in that flat for 6 years. And when you live in a flat for 6 years with one other person, and it was a big flat, two bedroom, quite a spacious place, it gets filled up with shit. And then when they leave, she took her clothes from the wardrobe and a small bag of belongings. And that was it. And I was left to clean out years worth of memories and possessions and clutter from that flat. Take it to the tip, take it to the charity shop, bins and bins of rubbish. And that's quite a traumatic thing to do. You're like clearing out your life as you knew it. A really difficult and weird thing to do. And, my mum was great and she came along and helped. But yeah, it was very difficult. And I think because she monkey swang from one vine or relationship to another, and she'd obviously done all of her planning of where am I going to live? She obviously just moved straight in with this other guy. But where am I going to live? What am I going to do? So she, to me, it felt like had gone, right, fuck this. I've got my escape plan. And she's just moved straight smoothly into another life and another transition. And she's like, well, I'm all good. And I was just left to pick up the pieces of not only the shock of her leaving, but also all of the admin and planning of how to rebuild my life. Where am I going to live, for example? And I didn't get to say goodbye to all of the couple friends that we had. We had a big group of friends, which were couple friends, and she got them all. And I did that purposely. I got rid of them on Facebook because I've got groups of friends. I've got my friends from Barnet, where I grew up. I've got my university friends. I've got friends from various workplaces, and I've got friends from all the bands I've been in over the years. So I was, and she'd come down from Scotland. So I was like, look, you can have these people. I didn't say that to her, but I just was like, look, they're your friends. But I loved that life, that friend, those friendship groups very much. And I lost that as well. And so I was there picking up the pieces, and she's just like, you know, shagging a new guy and setting up life with him. And very shortly afterwards, having a baby with him. Very shortly afterwards, suspiciously shortly afterwards. But look, that's all by the by. I don't care really if she had an affair. I don't care about her bad behaviour or my bad behaviour. It's not about that. I think the anger comes from, and the lack of forgiveness comes from the trauma of your life falling apart and you having to pick it up, whilst the other person is just, you know, flying off into the sunset in a fucking biplane, like, you know, chucks away, see you later, and you're left in the shit. And that's difficult. I don't think she probably realised how traumatic that is. I don't think that's happened to her. But when that does happen to you, someone ups and leaves, and you, they don't kick you out even. It's not that you are left with this shell of a life that once existed. It's very difficult to piece stuff back together. And I do actually remember it being a really difficult time, even though by the February, it happened in November 2014, and by February 2015, I was very much happy with where I lived and enjoying the single life and dating some people. And in fact, it was that month that I met my wife now. So all of it is good. And you can't have the life you want without often having to crawl through the sewer of shit. It's, you know, you have to Shawshank it, don't you? But it was difficult. Undeniably very, very difficult. And I can't help but, even though I behaved badly and she behaved badly, I can't help but blame her for that. Like, couldn't you have done it in a nicer way? You don't understand what you did. You were off in your fucking biplane and I'm there. I don't know why I keep saying biplane, but she's off in the sunset, and I'm picking up all the pieces from a bombed out house. I don't know. That's where the anger comes from. This is not about comedy. This is not about comedy, but I do have a podcast that I'm going to use every day. Listen, my listenership at the moment is so low. I could do a 5-minute fart into this fucking mic and it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't make any fucking difference. So instead you get this confession. I think it's just, I still am processing that anger. And I know how unhealthy it is to hold on to anger. And I don't even think it's a anger anymore. I think it's, you don't understand what it was like because you were off. You're off doing your new thing that you'd already planned out all of that. And you were there, you know, new partner and probably falling in love again, having a great time. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? It's like a giant slap around your face. Anyway, these things that fuck you up become, in the long term, your strengths. It's really weird. You've got to pay that tax sometimes to become resilient and stronger. Saying that, I do think I probably have some abandonment issues related to it. So there you go. But anyway, there you go. That's it. That's the podcast. I'm going to publish it because it's my podcast and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm convincing myself to press publish. That's all. See you on the next pod.